The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it's David Hayes, Your Money. How you doing? It's a great week, right? We had Thanksgiving last week, and here we are December 1st on a Thursday as we record this program. We're going to have a good one today. How to be smart about your RMDs. That stands for Required Minimum Distributions. Yes, the IRS can tell you when to take your money out of your retirement accounts, and yes, how much of it is theirs. So Martin James, CPA, is my guest today, and Marty is a good friend, lives just up the road in Mooresville, Indiana. His office is right there off of 67, and he was quoted in the Wall Street Journal this week on this exact topic on how to be smart with RMDs. Of course, if you're a listener on the podcast 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win, Marty was in a three-part series with me about a month ago. So you're going to get a double dose of old Marty James today. But before we get to that, let's do a little commentary from last week first, and we're going to get Hot Rod on the phone to give us an idea of what's going on now. Of course, last week we had growing optimism, right, that the Fed was ready to ease future rate hikes, and that sent stocks higher on a pretty quiet trading week. I think all indices ended the week higher. Of course, the idea in this holiday light week was that stocks rallied after investors grew more hopeful of a slowdown in future rate hikes. The release of the minutes of the Federal Open Market Committee kind of gave us some of that optimism. Thankfully, the Fed chairman came out this week and just basically put a rubber stamp on it and said, yes, we're going to go 50 basis points in December. And the market went soaring on Wednesday. So we'll get Rod's reveal on what that really means and what that looks like for the remaining of the year. So my guess is that, you know, we said that and the market took off, and then we'll kind of look and digest things. And they say that the raising or the primary reason for slowing the pace of rate hikes was the growing risk the Fed may increase rates beyond what's required to reduce inflation to its 2% target. That's crazy to think, right? 2%, that's a long way to go and a short time to get there, as they used to say on the old Smokey Bandit program many years ago. Of course, my favorite show of all time. But we'll see what Rod has to say when we get back. And I think it's pretty important to keep an eye on your 401ks and also doing some lost harvesting here at the end of the year. If you haven't listened to the podcast, make sure you listen to Never Let a Good Loss Go to Waste. That was a very important message I've given you here on this program and also on the podcast. So please, please listen. And also, don't forget, if you have not done your Roth conversions by now, shame on you. It's time to get those things done. In fact, our custodian, who we custody the majority of our assets for our clients with, sent out a notification that said, if you want to do any Roth conversions, get those in before December 15th or 16th to ensure that they'll be done before the end of the year. Because like most people, everyone waits to the last minute. And that actually dovetails nicely into our program today about RMDs, because most people wait until the last minute before they even think about taking money out of their retirement accounts, because we have been so conditioned, right, to defer taxes to the furthest point in the future. But the message is, when should you pay the tax on something? The farthest point in the future or when they're the cheapest? Well, I would say the cheapest. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, get Hot Rod on the phone, then we'll get into our program on how to be smart about RMDs. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much for being with us, as always. I've got Rod Holloway on the line. Of course, you get to hear Hot Rod on Mondays and Fridays on Glass in the afternoon. And Rod, I have a feeling on Big Show Friday, that'll be tomorrow if you're listening on Thursday, and if you're listening Saturday, it would have been yesterday, that you and Glass will have more than the markets to talk about as IU basketball took North Carolina down this week in a big whiteout that we had at Memorial Stadium. And, of course, you guys always go off on many, many tangents as they people have realized that, Rod, not only do you know a lot about the markets and the economy and what's going on there, but also you know quite a bit about sports as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing your segment on this Friday show.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting because, like you said, that's a big victory for the Hoosiers. I mean, obviously North Carolina's not what they were in preseason from the standpoint of being number one, but they're still a legit top 25 team. They're a blue blood, and it's just been a long time since you've seen an IU basketball team be able to step up in that type of an environment and win that ball game and then still have some consistency above and beyond that. Obviously, we know the Watt shot, and we've had some big games at home here and there. We just haven't had the consistency. So to go into that game undefeated, to come out it in which you control the whole way, that sets up for an even more exciting season as we progress into the Big Ten season and still a couple of non-Big Ten,
right,
very tough opponents ahead of us in Arizona and Kansas.
Yeah, we got some big ones coming up. All right, let's get back to it. So last week we talked about the growing optimism the Fed might be easing future interest rate hikes, and that sent the market higher. That was after the FOMC minutes came out. And then this week, Fed chairman came out and put a rubber stamp on it and simply said, yes, 50 basis points in December, and the market took off, which you and I were like, all he said was what they have been saying all along. But the market hates any uncertainty, and he took some of that out of the market.
Yeah, most certainly. And I think, you know, I wasn't surprised with the action on Monday and Tuesday in which we were down slightly, and even the flat action Wednesday morning before Powell's speech began, that you were down a little bit because we'd had a good rally. We had a positive October. We were positive for the month of November in the major indices except the NASDAQ. This week's sell-off on Monday and Tuesday did briefly take the NASDAQ below being positive for the month. So to have a slight pause, just in case the Fed came out and they were seeing something that the rest of the market wasn't seeing from an inflation perspective, that maybe they begin to back off of that discussion that they had already started laying the groundwork for, that they felt as though that they didn't need to do 75 basis points anymore.
Right.
And to me, common sense should have told a lot of people that's the case. We are at 3.75 on the federal funds rate. They're talking that they would like to be close to 5 by mid to late 2023. Well, if you did another 75 in December, you're already at 4.5 and you haven't even flipped the calendar yet.
Right.
You know, so
right.
I think to me it was kind of a no-brainer, 25 to 50 basis points. The caution leading into it I fully understand, because had the Fed come out and said, gosh, we just don't see enough cooling in the inflation market, we're still behind and we got to get ahead, yes, that would have unsettled the marketplace. It was just the magnitude of the rally. I think the NASDAQ or the triple Qs was up 3%, almost 4% on that day, simply because the Fed said, hey, we're going to probably do 50 basis points instead of 75. They still followed that up with, that's not it, we've still got increases left in 2023, and we're going to leave rates at a higher and restrictive level for longer than many of you think. So they're still in the same game plan they have been for a long time. That's what sometimes makes me nervous, and what I've tried to express to Glass, that I don't want the market to rally too hard, too fast, because then it has a come to Jesus moment when it realizes that, oh, fundamentals don't support where we're at, and then you have a bigger sell-off, versus if we can just get a nice slow grind into year end and finish the year positive, hopefully with 3 straight positive months at the end of the year, hey, then we can start to focus on 23 and how quickly do the fundamentals begin to improve and signal that, hey, maybe we can start to begin a new uptrend that lasts longer than just a month or two, which is really all we've seen up to this point, is some bull market rallies inside a bigger, longer-term bear market.
Well, here on the Thursday, we're going to see some jobless claims come out, the Purchasing Managers Index for manufacturing come out. Friday, the Employment Situation Report. That sounds pretty incredibly fun to watch, to read. But we're still, folks, these are all lagging things. You know, we're just now starting to see the actual layoffs, a few layoffs that have been announced. We're going to see more as the year unfolds. the great realignment is what I'm going to call this. You know, when you need people over here and they're letting them go over there, they're going to be shifting around. So it's going to be interesting to watch this over the next, you know, 3, 6, 9 months. But like we say, Rod, it will be better down the road, and that's why people need to stick to their guns and just keep doing what they're doing, control what you can control. And that's kind of leading into our program today about being smart on required minimum of distributions. It's like, what can I control about my retirement account? It's that. It's like, when do I take it out? Because I don't want to be in a situation where the IRS is forcing me to take it out when I really don't want to. Rod, great job as always. Appreciate your short amount of time, but we have a really special guest in the studio today, so I'm cutting you a little short. I'll see you back at the ranch.
Sounds good, Dave. Have a great show, and I will talk to you later.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll have Martin James, CPA, from Mooresville, Indiana, who was featured in the Wall Street Journal article this week on how to be smart about RMDs. Excited about that. We'll be back. He's live in studio. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, I owe a few people a shout-out that I have neglected the last few weeks. I hadn't even realized it, but the guys that sponsor the program or help sponsor News of the Week, of course, Kenny Blaine Auctions, they're your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Of course, visit my good friend Dirk and Nikki Bland online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Of course, Lance Like, the Like Law Group. This is a great time to be thinking about this, and let's make 2023 the year of getting your estate plan done, but give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance Like of the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, thankfully, my generator has not had to be used much this year, but a few times it did, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your full-service electrical contractor. They do specialize in generators like mine, solar arrays, or veteran-owned. Call my friend Tim at Unrivaled Electric, 812-361-3604. Of course, find them on Facebook as well. In the studio today is Martin James, CPA, out of Mooresville, Indiana. He has to always remind me that, yes, he lives in Plainfield, works in Mooresville, and was featured in a Wall Street Journal article this week called How to Be Smart About RMDs. But, Marty, before we get started with that, you and I go back a long way. I didn't need these reading glasses back when you met me the first time. I was a young whippersnapper at our very first Ed Slott IRA event. I don't know what year it was.
It was probably 2005. Okay. We actually met in the airport on the way there.
Marty and I are less than 30 miles apart.
Yep.
We both have identical interests. We love to fish. We love to be outdoors. We love to save people money on taxes. Those are three really good quality traits there. And, yeah, we were in the airport, and we both had the Ed Slott Elite bag, and we struck up a conversation, and our friendship has now lasted for soon to be 20 years.
Yep,
pretty hard to believe.
Yeah,
one of the benefits of being with Ed is that he's nationally renowned as the expert when it comes to IRA and taxes and all of that. And many of the media outlets will reach out to Ed and say, hey, who do you have in your group of financial advisors, tax advisors that can help us with things? You've been featured in the Wall Street Journal more than once. I don't know how many times.
I really don't know either.
Yeah, many, many times. I've been fortunate to be in Kiplinger and Forbes and other magazines and whatever articles. So just being part of the program almost gives you instant cred. But I always say to people, Marty's the smartest guy in the group. That's why I always sit next to you in our meetings, not because I like the way you smell, but because you explain things to me when I don't understand them. But saying that, this is one of the things that we have been talking about to people ever since the tax law changed back in 17, and that's to recognize where we are, what advantages we have and right here in front of us now, and if you don't take advantage of it, you're probably going to be hosed down the road because we as Americans have been putting money away in tax-deferred vehicles, IRAs, 401ks, thinking that we will be in a lower tax bracket when we retire. And most people, when it comes to required minimum distributions, they get to the point, now it's age 72, maybe it'll be 75 at some point, and they come in and they say, hey, I know I need to take money out. How much is it? And you say, well, it's this much. And they go, oh, all right, whatever, and they pay the tax. But now there's a new twist because we had the Secure Act come along, and it changed how beneficiaries receive that money. And you and I did a podcast, and I mentioned this to you, that with $33 trillion sitting in tax-deferred retirement accounts and the U.S. $31 trillion in debt, going up $1 trillion a year for at least the next 10 years, and where we are as a society age-wise with the boomers and when they're going to be forced to take money out and what the projections are for tax rates down the in the future, it's not good. It's not good. So in this article, it's very well laid out. Ed's in the article, you're in the article, saying, listen, you've got to do something about this. We have a real opportunity, and we have a real problem. Right, Marty?
Exactly. I mean, you got to remember, Congress knows where the money is.
Absolutely.
You know, and when you've put that money in the account tax-deferred, it's not a tax deduction. It's a loan from the government that eventually is going to be paid back with terms that you don't know what they are. But today we do. So, you know, you really need to start planning, you know, well in advance of how am I going to control those required minimum distributions in the future. I do not want it pushing me into higher tax brackets, subject me to all these other stealth taxes that go along with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you and I, in our podcast, 2025, The Final Drive, when you were on with me, we talked about some of the stealth taxes. We talked about all the advantages of having money in a tax-free account. And, I mean, there's so many. If you haven't listened to it, folks, go to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win, and listen, because it is very, very compelling, motivating, and probably a little bit inspiring. So I'm looking at the article now, and it talks about Ed Slott saying that, you know, a sizable balance today in an IRA is really a ticking time bomb, says Ed Slott. What do you do? If you have an IRA or 401k that amounts to a healthy six figures or more, which almost everyone in this society, if you don't have nearly seven figures, you probably don't have enough to live a comfortable life. It's essential, he says, to stop thinking about required distributions as this thing, right? I mean, who else do you make a deal with that says, okay, here's my money, right? And you tell me when I have to take it out, and you tell me how much I'm going to owe you. Because we're used to controlling our money, right? I'm used to controlling whatever I spend my money on. And the IRS is taking all that away from you. But you have a choice, and that is to you take control right now on how I'm going to spend my money by getting it out of these tax-laden accounts into tax-free. And there's a lot of different ways and strategies to do that. But, Marty, it's something that if we're bringing you aware of this, and what's crazy is Ed says right here in the article that, yeah, People, I think, understand it, but they're not doing it. Generally, he says, people generally are not doing it. He said, Washington knows, like you just said, where the money is and would love to get their hands on it. At these historically low rates, they would love to have it now.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, they're licking their chops for it later.
Yeah. Yeah, and the deal that they're giving you, you know, if this was like anything other than the federal government, it'd be illegal. I mean, you couldn't do it. You'd go to jail for it.
Right. Right, I love it. Here's the part where they bring you into it. They say, well, starts off with to get an idea on how attractive rates are today and how quickly they can change. Consider a married couple, both age 65. Let's say they pull $112,000 from a traditional IRA where they owe taxes, and assume they took the standard deduction and all that. If the couple had no other income, and we use the current tax brackets, 22 tax brackets, the federal tax on that withdrawal, believe it or not, would be $9,700. That's it, on a $112,000 withdrawal. That's 8.6% federal tax effective rate. Fast forward to 2026, this is what the article says. Remember, 2025, The Final Drive, that's when it all comes in. Fast forward to 2026, when the tax rates at a minimum revert back to 2017 levels, the same withdrawal would cost $13,600. That's, you know, like $4,000 more than what they would pay under today's rates. So Congress, again, it acted as part of the SECURE Act, the elimination of the so-called stretch, which is how we used to kind of mitigate this. You know, it's okay if tax rates go up because if my kids inherit this, they can stretch it over their 30-year lifetime. So that was probably not that big of a deal. But Marty, they slammed the door on that deal, didn't they?
Yep.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so with the SECURE Act that, you know, came in 2019, and then this affects for people who passed away after 2019 into 2020 and forward, essentially prior to this, if somebody passed away and inherited their IRA, I could use my life expectancy to take this money out.
Yeah.
And then with the SECURE Act, now I may have to take required minimum distributions depending on the deceased person's age when they passed away.
In relationship.
Yep. Or, you know, I've got to have it out in 10 years. I mean, this is like a major tax grab.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. I mean, yeah. That's what in one of the podcasts I talk about is the math behind this. And then I get into what if you do something about it. We're going to get into that in just a minute. So I'm going to take a quick break because when we come back, I want to get into where you were quoted here. That's the very next part of this article. And then where do we go from here? Because there are five things that's talked about in the article that we need to do to avert ourselves from being just destroyed with taxes down the road. Well, I'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, Marty mentioned this, but in the article it said it used to be able to be stretched out over your lifetime, but now it has to be generally taken all out within 10 years, and it's going to be taxable to those beneficiaries. So in short, a nice fat IRA, which seemed like a worthwhile cause that could go on for 30 or 40 years, seemed like a good idea, but no, that's not the case anymore. All of this is necessary. All the things that we're talking about are necessary to require planning. So here's what you say. A good tax projection looks out years in advance for key events, says Martin James, CPA, Mooresville, Indiana. I love it when we get credit for this kind of stuff. What happens to my tax? This is what you say. What happens to my taxes when I claim Social Security? What happens when my RMDs start required minimum distributions? What happens when one spouse dies? How will that affect the spouse's taxes? The point, I want to be in control of my tax brackets when these events occur, says Mr. James. I've never called you Mr. James before, so
that's my dad.
I bet. And you went on to say, I don't want these big spikes in my retirement income, which is forced upon you when my RMD planning comes along. What are some of the basic elements of planning? There's five in here. Rethink contributions. I have told this to the young people. Listen, I love when you have an auto enrollment in your 401k, but why in the world does it go to the tax later side? Rethink your contributions, right, Marty?
Exactly. I mean, if you've got, you know, 30, 40 years, can you imagine 30, 40 years of tax-free growth compared to
later? It's like you're paying a little bit now to have it all free later. It's so nuts. And I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you make 40 grand or 400,000 grand. Because remember, when your employer matches, you're going to have plenty of money to pay tax on later, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So pay it now.
Yep.
Pay it now. And, you know, it's rather, like I say, money's like love. It's better to have made it and paid it than never have made it at all. The other thing, and this is the big one, right? And you and I talked about this prior to coming up here. People just, if they don't need the money, they always just wait and wait and wait and wait. And all of a sudden, now it's time they have to take it out. And you're like, what? I have to take out $80,000 of required distributions on top of this and this and this. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, maybe I should have tapped this a little bit earlier and got this problem tampered down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just basically pushing some income forward so you can reduce it later, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's why it's so important to start this process early. I can't think of how many times somebody's come into my office and we've gone through these numbers, and I, you know, think, man, if you would have been here 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's like comparing going to the hospital, either, you know, triage in an emergency center or actually a planned surgery.
I was telling someone the other day, and I've used this before, but, you know, I've been practicing nearly 30 years. How long have you been in practice?
1980.
Yeah, so longer, I mean, 14 years longer than me, right?
Yeah.
And so we've seen a lot, but what we know today, we didn't know that many years ago. So when folks say to me, man, I wish I would have met you 20 years ago. I'm like,
maybe not.
You would have been part of my learning curve. You're better off to have met me like in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
But when we talk about pushing that forward, it can be done in a lot of ways. I mean, one, if you're retired or over 59 and a half, you know, you could, you know, push that income out, pay tax now. If you don't need it, part of that is the Roth conversion, which is the big granddaddy of them all. And understanding where you are in the tax bracket, but not just today, but like you say in the article, looking into the future to say, okay, when I'm on Medicare, when I get to RMD age, I mean, what are some of the big targets that we have to focus on to say, yes, I need to plan now and not just for now, but into the future?
Right. Because, I mean, the argument is a lot of people still believe they're going to be a lower income tax bracket when they retire.
Well, and the misconception is that technically you might be, because if you're working, you're paying payroll taxes, right?
Right.
So you're not paying payroll taxes in retirement. So that, to me, has always been the argument, is that I will be in a lower tax. I will be in a, maybe, because you're only paying federal and state tax. But when you look at what the Congressional Budget Office says every single year, which is basically taxes need to double,
right,
or it's just to not, you know, simply, you know, pay the things we've already promised, taxes are not going to be lower. There's just no mathematical possibility. So pushing income forward from these IRAs, Marty, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, so what that looks like to me is, let's say you come into my office and we said, you know, and you're with, we might do like a 15-year look.
Yeah.
You know, when these other events happen, like Social Security and your RMDs, if you do nothing, you know, and all, you know, depending on when you're going to claim your Social Security and such, we'll run this out and we'll look and say, look, your marginal bracket's going to be this compared to where it is today.
And that's using the current tax law.
Right.
It's going to revert back to where it was.
Right. Well, we actually do sunset in this calculation.
Yeah, we do too.
Yeah. So then we also, then we're looking at the effective rate. Then we're driving deeper into it and we're looking at how many dollars should be in tax in each one of those brackets. And because the name of the game is to pay the lowest amount of tax over your lifetime, not necessarily this current year. So once we identify that, then we start making the sausage. Literally, you know, driving into, okay, how much do we need to get out of this tax-infested pre-tax account on a more so we win. Is essentially what we're doing.
And so you can put some real math to this. If we do nothing, this is what it's going to cost us. If we do something now, this is what we'll save. And it can be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Because we're
not just talking about your lifetime. We're talking about Cindy's lifetime, your wife Cindy. We're talking about your kids' lifetime. I did a podcast on parlaying Roth conversions into multi-million family wealth. I mean, it was basically how converting a small IRA to Roth and how it grew tax-free, and then I died, and then it went to my wife, and it grew tax-free in her lifetime. She died. Then it went to my kid, and he was able to not take it for 10 more years, and then he has to take it all out tax-free, by the way.
Right.
And I was able to show how you could take a very small IRA and literally parlay it into millions and millions of tax-free dollars over 30 to 40 years, because it's multi-generational concept is what we have to talk about.
Yep.
So again, if you want to hear that one, head over to the podcast and listen to it. It's about 15 minutes long. And again, if this stuff doesn't motivate you to act, then your wood's wet. Something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
I mean, you just got to stop and look at it. You know, where am I at? Now start making decisions of what I need to do. And the earlier, the better.
I was actually looking at this article and there were some pretty interesting facts in there about how many people actually take money out of their retirement accounts and what they use it for. Well, of the $34 trillion as of June 30th in this year in retirement accounts, only 19% actually took a withdrawal that were retired.
Mm.
So that tells you something. And you and I work with real people. I mean, we're not journalists. We're not on TV reporting what we think people do. I mean, we see people. And people in this area tend to be pretty frugal, right?
Right.
They're driving older cars. They are living on not much. They don't spend a lot. They save a lot. They don't have a lot of debt. That's our clients, right?
Right, exactly.
So it's not surprising to me to say that only 19% of the people took the money out for living expenses or to buy a home or repair or, you know, whatever comes up, health care. They don't. So then they get to the point, it's like, okay, hey, knock on your door, you know. It's like, hey, wait, you haven't been taking any money out, but now you have to. And then all of a sudden you get into other issues like your Social Security not only is taxed at the highest level, which most people, because that rule's been in place for so long, right, it hasn't been adjusted, most people pay on Social Security. But then all of a sudden they're paying more Medicare premiums, right, because it's like, okay, this, I didn't realize that if I had income that I didn't want reported that I would have to pay two times what I'm paying for Medicare Part B. Those are things that just, you call them the stealth taxes, but we're going to get into that. I'm going to take a quick break because we got a little bit more to talk about when I come back. This is fun, Marty, by the way. I'm having a lot of fun just because I like to have people that are thinkers, doers, and people that are famous like you in the Wall Street Journal. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. How to be smart about RMDs. You know, I always say on the show, I've been doing this a long time, and you might listen every single week. You might have been listening for 20 years, and what we talk about may never matter to you until it matters to you. I ever think about, like, Social Security claiming, whatever it might be that we talk about. People are like, oh, wow, that applies to me now, so I'm going to perk up and listen. Well, listen, this is going to apply to all of us at some point. Don't wait until you're at required distribution age to say, oh, I need to listen to what Hayes has to say about this. I need to be more attentive to what's going on. No, no, no. If you're 50 years old, if you're 60, whatever age you are, you have to think about these RMDs that are coming down the road. Now, Marty, you talk about some of the stealth taxes that come along when you're in retirement and you have extra income, whether it's wanted or unwanted. Talk a few minutes about that.
Yeah, so it really depends on where you're landing in the whole tax bracket thing. But for a lot of people, you have the IRMA tax, which is your additional Medicare premium that you have to pay based on your income. That's a big one. We always try to
avoid that.
One of the things that pops up is
or take it on the chin for a year or two.
Exactly.
To not take it ever again.
Yep, exactly. That's where you do that larger Roth conversion,
right,
and get those RMDs under control. Then you have a lot of things are tied to your adjusted gross income, which that is one of them. Actually lost the thought on that.
That's because you started in 1980.
It started in 1980. Yeah, excuse.
Now you're making me throttle back on the smartest guy I know. Listen, I forget name. I was at the IU basketball game last night. Yeah. I didn't get home until 12:30 at night. I was at the Colts game on Monday night. Didn't get home until 12:30 at night. I have been able. My mind has been scrambled like a bunch of eggs this week. So we forgive you.
All right. So where I was going with it was like the NIT tax, the net investment income tax.
Yeah.
You know. Your
3.8%.
Right, exactly. So your IRA distributions aren't subject to that, but it pushes that adjusted gross income up where all your dividends, interest, capital gains can be subject to that. So it's an extra 3.8%. So if we can stay under those thresholds by doing the Roth conversions and have tax-free income that isn't reported there, we avoid that.
Yeah, and those projections can be done, which are, it's just a math problem,
Exactly. It's all math.
Being a math problem. In the article, it talks about the five things you do. Now, we talked already about a few of them, rethinking contributions, not putting money away tax-deferred, put it away tax-free, pay it now to never pay it again. Tapping the IRAs early, meaning moving that money forward, rather than letting it just sit there and keep growing, right? Because the larger your retirement account gets, the larger their share is. We talked about Roth conversions, moving money from taxable to tax-free, if you don't need the money, and that's a great thing to do. But a couple of other things that we need to discuss, the last two, is one, life insurance. And Ed Slott does a great job with this because he's like, He says, I don't sell life insurance. But he just says, I just know this is the most sacred code, 7702, that says that this is tax-free treatment of life insurance. So if your purpose is to leave a bunch of tax-free money behind, life insurance is a pretty solid way to do it, right?
It really is. I'm not a fan of life insurance companies, but I like what they can do.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, why are we not a fan of life insurance companies? Because we never see the benefit until we die, and then we never see it because our kids or spouse gets it. But I can tell you this, guys, that when you look at transferring wealth, you can look at it a couple ways. I can transfer it into a Roth IRA, pay the tax, and hope it grows. Right? Or I could pay the tax and maybe move it into a life insurance policy that could be contractually guaranteed to deliver a tax-free benefit, or maybe a combination of both. And with the life insurance policy, I could also get some additional benefits. Maybe I could tap it for long-term care if I needed it, or, whatever. Maybe I could borrow against it the money, which you cannot borrow against an IRA. It's illegal. Right. But I can borrow against my cash value, my life insurance, go buy a car, pay myself back. I mean, there's a lot of benefits there. So keep your mind open when you're talking about what are you trying to do by doing this Roth conversion. And that will help solve the question on what I should put that money in, Roth conversion or life insurance.
Yeah.
Look, you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, one of the things you also have to look at is like your charitable intents. Okay, so I came across a case.
And that was number five here, the charitable thing.
Yeah, but just like yesterday, a client pulls out an old will from the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
and current net worth is about $20 million.
Just a normal everyday client.
Yeah. So
you're such a bragger, Marty.
In the will, he's going to leave 10% of his estate to charity.
Yeah.
And I said, time out.
What is your estate?
Exactly.
I mean, what's your estate?
Well, that's all the good stuff. That's all the real estate. Everything's going to step up in basis, all my cash and all that.
Yeah.
And then my IRA is not really in my estate. That's going by beneficiary.
Exactly.
So my kids are going to get all the bad stuff. Charity's going to get all the good stuff. So what they're doing is they're taking that provision out of there, naming the beneficiary of the larger IRA as
the charity.
Plus he does his QCDs out of there, which is what you were getting ready to go to. So the charity's getting the money, and the kids are going to get all the good stuff.
That's what, I talk about that in a podcast is what I've talked about here on the show. What money do you leave to people? And what money do you leave to charity? And the money you leave to people is the most tax-efficient money, stuff that gets a stepped-up cost basis, Roth IRAs. Never put a charity on a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
Never. Life insurance. Never put a charity on life insurance. Leave that to people. Leave the most tax-infested investment you have, which is your IRA or 401k, to the charity. And to your point, not only when you're dead, but also while you're living, because that's where the qualified charitable distributions come from. And that's the crazy thing. Yeah, they moved the RMD age to 72, but for some reason the QCD is still stuck at 70.5. Yeah. And you have to be 70.5, folks. I mean, you can't be 70 in 5 months. You have to be 70.5. But I can then take up to $100,000 out of my retirement account, give it to my charity. It's completely tax-free. And, oh, by the way, it also would satisfy any of the required minimum distributions I had on that IRA once I turned 72. Mm-hmm. I would not give an absolute, well, maybe a nickel, maybe a quarter, maybe the Salvation box, I'll put a $20 bill in, but I'm not going to give any of my planned charitable giving from anywhere else but my IRA if I'm over 70.5, right?
That's correct. Yep. Because what it does, it also keeps that income, that RMD, off the front page of your tax return, which fixes a lot of these stealth taxes.
Right, all the things we talked about.
Yeah.
It sounds complicated, but it's really not. It's really not. I mean, if you just sit down, take some time, and remember, people in this country take more time planning vacations than they do planning, you name it, right? Planning retirement, planning their estate. It doesn't take like an arm and a leg to get this thing done. A little bit of information, a little bit of discussion, and then boom, you can lay out a pretty well thought out plan that could get yourself, your wife, your husband, your kids, your community in or out of the crosshairs of higher taxes coming. And I'm looking forward. I'm going to have David McKnight back on the show, I think sometime in January. He's been busy. Have you been following Dave?
Yeah. I catch his podcast every time it's up.
Yeah, I need to be better at that. It comes up, and I don't listen to it every time. I usually look at the title, and if it's an interesting title, then I'll listen if it's not. And we share ideas back and forth, on different topics. So he's going to be on. Hopefully he'll be on my podcast as well. And, I have Ed Slott on again after the first of the year. And I've got a couple guests lined up for maybe even the rest of this year. And you and I, this came up kind of impromptu because of the fact that you were featured in this Wall Street Journal article. Marty, if they want a copy of this article, if they aren't like you and I that get the journal every single day, how do they get this thing?
Well, so one of the ways to do it is actually the Wall Street Journal has like an online store.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Wall Street Journal
whatever
store, think of the name of it, and you can actually go in and order
a copy.
Yeah,
so this one was on Monday of November 28th, so just literally this week, and it was in the wealth management section. It literally is 2 pages long. There's so much here to read. There's some other good stuff in here too, like taxes after marriage. Do you get a bonus or a penalty? How to tell where you land. I'm going to do a little podcast on that after I got that idea. So, yeah, I'm always like, dude, give me an idea. I want to research it and dig into it and make people think about things. So, Marty, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
First of all, for this. And you can't have my copy because I've already marked it all up.
I know.
Highlights and things like that. So you're going to have to go to the store and buy your own.
Looks like you need a new highlighter after that.
Yeah, it's pretty worked over. I wouldn't say that I didn't... I don't know. We'll see. I think there's probably more in here than I even got to. So let's take a quick break, guys. We're going to come back and wrap up the program. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Marty, have any big plans coming up for the holidays?
It's going to be pretty laid back, I think.
That's nice.
You know, we're not really traveling anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, Christmas with the family.
I have next week. I'll be leaving for Scottsdale. Actually, you'll be with me in Scottsdale.
I'll be there.
I forgot about that. So yeah. we'll be there for our big mastermind. Sounds kind of, I don't know what you, I mean, we call it the Mastermind Collegium, but it's basically some of the really brightest financial people around to get together. And iron sharpens iron, they say, right? So plus it's going to be really nice in Scottsdale, I hope.
Yep. Actually, it helps to have a little harder metal to sharpen that one.
Yeah. Good point. You know what? I always say that people are like, wow, that's so cool, Dave. You get to go to the Bahamas. You get to go to, you know, San Diego. And I'm like, listen, if they had this thing up in Detroit right now, we'd be like, I don't know about going. But you have to have it somewhere kind of cool and nice and warm. And we're all like, yeah, let's go. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that this weekend. I'll come back on Tuesday. I'm going to come back a little early. I think I'm coming back Tuesday. And then we're turning around on Thursday and traveling to Las Vegas. In half of this town, I think, seems like they're going, every time I talk to someone, to Las Vegas for the Indiana-Arizona basketball game next weekend. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then, boy, we'll be coming back, hitting it hard up until the end of the year. My office Christmas party is on Friday night of this week. So if you see all of us out over at the old Malibu. No, I think we're at Uptown, actually, Uptown in the back room. And then and you hear a lot of ruckus, just ignore us. It's just us back there having a good old-fashioned time. Do you guys do a Christmas party with the Martin James CPA office? I mean, you and Kyle see each other enough. You probably want a break from each other.
Yeah, we really don't. What we do, we'd normally like go out to lunch.
Yeah.
You know, or we'd go out. We used to go out to dinner.
Right.
Then we, you know, started doing the lunch things. And now everybody's happy. We just give them a day off.
Day off. You know, a little bonus, right?
A little bonus, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that. We love the camaraderie of the office. I love being at the office. I mean, that's like during 2020, you know, we, besides that first maybe few weeks, I mean, we were fully functioning because everyone was like, they need to be in the office. And during that time, I was proud to be engaged in letting people know that we're here. And I was here on the radio. I mean, every single week, walking people through this. So here we are now, moving into 2023, and I feel like I still got a lot of gas in my tank. What about you, Marty?
I do. You know, my favorite day of the whole year, though, is January 1st.
Why?
Because there's nothing I can do about last year, and I got a whole 12 months in front of me.
Well, for a tax guy, that's I understand that, right?
Yeah, I might even get up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to get as much of it as I can.
Oh, so if you guys didn't know this, Marty's actually a certified professional fly fishing instructor on top of being one of the brightest CPAs in the country. So, Marty, once again, congratulations for being quoted for the 100th time in the Wall Street Journal. So I know it's no big deal to you, but it's kind of a big deal to me, and I appreciate you being part of the program. So with that said, everyone, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.